You're listening to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. Now, here's Justin Fielder, Derek Stafford, and Tyler Schaefer.
Hello, everybody. Happy New Year. Welcome to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. This is Justin. Joined here with the cousins, Derek and Tyler. Guys, we're back. It's been about a month here. Derek, are you ready for this?
As always, baby.
How about you, Tyler? Now that the national championship is over, this is the official time for the off season here. What do you think? You ready for podcasting to begin?
Oh man, it's the beginning of the off season. This is the best time to be a Husker fan because we are undefeated in off season games. I'll tell you that.
It seems that way. Well, what about that national championship game last night? Did you watch that?
Oh man, that was a really fun game, and I was so happy. I mean, I don't really root for Georgia often, but man, last night I was wearing my Husker colors and pretending like they were Bulldog colors because I really was hoping that they'd win. Georgia was the better team all night, and it just, you know, it seemed like it wasn't going to go their way, and all the calls were going Bama's way like they always do, and sure enough, they pulled it out.
Derek, you hate the SEC, and the only thing that you hate more than the SEC is SEC rematches. Did you watch the game last night?
Yeah, I put some money on it, so I went ahead and watched a little bit of it.
Yeah.
But I fell asleep by fourth quarter. I didn't think it was that entertaining of a game.
Wait, were you not entertained by the soccer match in the first half with all the field goals?
God, no.
Yeah. Well, I guess as an over-better, you wouldn't like that, so that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because I've changed my attitude towards college football so bad. For years and years and years, I was always a defensive guy. Like, I want to see a defensive battle. Now, I just hate watching defensive battles. Like, let's see some offense.
Well, if you bet the under, of course you want to see a defensive battle, right?
Well, yeah, but not even that. I just don't like watching games that are all defense. I want to see some points on the board.
Yeah, makes it a little bit more exciting. All right, well, we're doing a podcast this week, or tonight, I should say, because there's a lot of Husker news that has happened over this last month, especially really recently. We're going to talk about some incoming players from the transfer portal that we've received. We're also going to talk about Bill Bush. He's been named special teams coordinator, so that's pretty exciting stuff. Let's start with let's go ahead and get Bill Bush out of the way. That's pretty exciting. For the last 4 years, I've been pretty adamant, you know, that, you know, with as bad as special teams have been, that we need a dedicated special teams coordinator, and we have our guy, Bill Bush. This is something that's been rumored for, I don't know, last 2 weeks, I guess, that it was going to happen. So, but it's official now. Tyler, what do you think of this hire?
Well, I'm thrilled. I mean, you know, we were talking about this, about the kind of ranking the hires. And, you know, I think we all think Mickey Joseph is the best hire, or at least up there. But Bill Bush, man, I mean, this guy's a great recruiter. He's been around the game for a while. He obviously has the Nebraska ties. When he came back to Nebraska as an analyst, I mean, I think a lot of people really wanted him to be more involved with the team. I don't really got anything to say. Home run. You know, I will say that I am one of the people that keep saying we've had a special team coach. Javon DeWitt has been a special teams coach. Mike Dawson was. But I forget dedicated or not, I think Bill Bush is just a better coach than those two. I think we got a home run guy there.
Derek, what do you think?
I think it's great. You know, I'll play devil's advocate, though. Is anybody else worried? Or not anybody else, but is anybody worried that he has not coached special teams since 2014? Like, it's been 7 years since he's coached special teams.
Not particularly. Mainly because our special teams was such a disaster last year. If he gives it the full, you know, if he dedicates his job to it, which he obviously will be doing I mean, the focus will be there. He's a great coach. He's proved it in the past. And what's more interesting is, does he have the players on the roster to be able to make it successful? You know, do we have the specialists? And I think so. I think we're getting those guys in. We'll see how that plays out, but no.
I do have to go back to what Tyler said, something about him being a great recruiter. And I am stoked to see what our recruiting classes are going to do with Mickey Joseph and Bill Bush recruiting.
They're knocking it out of the park right now, right?
I mean, yeah, this is just with transfers mostly.
Well, and don't forget Travis Fisher. I mean, Travis Fisher has been a really solid recruiter for us. I mean, you know, I think the Mike Riley era, I know there's a lot of talk about, you had Keith Williams and Dante Williams. And, man, I'll tell you, I'm going to put this staff right now up against any staff Nebraska's had in the recruiting department.
If you go back and look at recruiter rankings, you know who's really quietly been a good recruiter and probably doesn't get a lot of credit for it? Is Barrett Rood. Yeah, he ranks probably top five of our coaches every year for recruiting. I mean, he's not our best recruiter. I'm not trying to make it sound like he's our best recruiter, but quietly, he's one of our better recruiters.
I believe the speculation is that Dawson's going to continue with outside backers and defensive line. And which is kind of an interesting fit, I guess, but I don't know if it's like, I don't know. I mean, it's not unheard of. I mean, it's not insanely crazy. I mean, in a 3-4, your defensive or your outside backers are basically defensive ends. So, you know, the thought of a outside backers coach coaching is probably not the craziest. I mean, I would imagine Shenander's going to lean in, but I don't know. Dawson's also got to justify his $550,000 salary somehow. And now that he's not a special teams coach, I think probably needs a little bit more than just coaching outside backers.
Derek, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it's Shenander's defense. And if you want it to be successful, I think you're going to start to have to get your hands dirty with him. Look, Taylor, you might be right. Maybe Dawson can handle both. But it's one of those things where you got to be there and help the guy out at some point too, I think.
Well, so let me ask you guys this. If we were running a 4-3, would you guys freak out if we had a coach all defensive line?
Say that again.
If we were in a 4-3 and a coach was coaching defensive tackles and defensive ends, all of defensive line, would you think that's a really bad idea?
Probably not.
So I would say that's kind of the parallel. I know it's different because when you say linebackers and defensive line, I feel like, but I think with the way we run our outside backers, I mean, shit, all season they called Garrett Nelson a defensive end anyways. Like, I think the way that this Shenander defense is kind of evolved, I think our outside backers are really I think they're closer to defensive linemen than they are of linebackers at this point.
Yeah, that's fair. Derek, you have any thoughts on that?
No, I mean, Tyler, you're probably right, but I don't know. No, I would not have a problem if a guy was coaching just all defensive line. But I don't think you're quite accurate in saying that all the outside linebackers are just basically defensive ends. Because they fall back in coverage a lot, too.
They do. And again,
I mean, you don't see defensive ends do that as often.
I would say this. If your guys' assessment is that Shenander is going to have to lean in more with the outside linebacker position group than he did last year, I would agree with that assessment. I would imagine there will probably be a couple of drills he will run. You know, they definitely will separate drills between defensive line and outside backers, and obviously Dawson can't be at both of those drills. But I imagine a lot of the drills they're going to do in practice are going to overlap, and that's why I think there's probably assessment. And I don't know, maybe it helps get a little bit better rush one way or another. Maybe the defensive line learns to rush the passer a little bit better.
So we are one coach away from having a completed staff right now. We're just missing a running backs coach. That should be named shortly, I imagine. I mean, players are reporting soon.
Probably about the time we put this out in the morning.
Probably, naturally. Well, let's talk about the thing that is all of Husker Nation is really excited for it, and it's the transfer guys that are coming in. Now, the recruiting class that signed coming out of high school, that class was, you know, mediocre. It wasn't very exciting. But the guys coming in right now on this transfer portal, you know, I think that could be a whole episode by itself on what is the transfer portal good or bad. But right now we're benefiting, so we'll play along that it's good. Tyler, talk about some of these offensive guys that we're bringing in right now.
Well, I guess just to clarify, like, do you want me to go through the list of all the offensive guys, or do you want me to go one by one?
However you want to do it. Surprise us.
Okay. Well, let's go one by one. And I guess I got to start with I don't know if you would say the big name, but the probably the most important position that we needed. Nebraska brought in Casey Thompson, the former Texas player who was a four-star out of high school. Interesting thing about him, he came out of high school the same year as Adrian Martinez. He has 2 years of eligibility left. It's just crazy to think about that because Adrian Martinez had been around, seemed like forever. And Casey Thompson comes in with 2 years left of eligibility. That's one of the guys a lot of fans wanted to get.
Is he a big get, Tyler?
I mean, you take the former starting quarterback from Texas. I feel like that's a pretty good get. I mean, again, you can find flaws with anyone, right? I mean, these guys transfer. Most guys that are transferring are not all Americans at their current position. So obviously there's some warts on him. There's some flaws in him. But I think that what he does do is he can run the Whipple offense. I think that he can be a pocket passer. He is mobile. He isn't going to be a statue back there.
Derek, what are your thoughts on Casey Thompson?
I like him. I think it's a good get. I know there were a few games with Texas that he struggled pretty bad. I don't watch enough Texas football to know whether he was starting some of those games. Because some of those games, he only threw six or seven passes. So I assume he probably didn't play very much of the game. But he was obviously inconsistent in them, so he didn't stay in. Or maybe he started and got pulled. I don't know. I didn't pay enough attention to Texas football to know. So I know there's some inconsistencies with him. But what I'll say is, if Mark Whipple can turn a two-star quarterback into a Heisman finalist, you have to assume he can turn a four-star quarterback into something at least what Adrian Martinez was doing or better.
Well, it took 3 years to mold Kenny Pickett there. What I will say about...
But okay, you still got a two-star versus four-star. You would think you'd be able to mold him a little faster than that two-star guy.
So this is what I'll say about Casey Thompson. And I know a lot of Husker fans think he's going to be the savior, and he might. He might be. He might be a really good get. But, you know, there's a little bit of issues around Casey Thompson. He was a four-year quarterback last year headed into 2021. He got beat out by a second-year freshman for the job. He didn't get his first start till the third game. So there's that. He played pretty well, but he did have those two games that you're talking about where he did get pulled. in West Virginia and Iowa State, I think. He got pulled from those games.
To be fair to him, he was battling an injury around that time. And you know,
well, the injury came in the Oklahoma. These came, you know, West Virginia was the second to last game of the year. There were issues with him in the second half of this year. He would put out some pretty good numbers, but in the second half, he kind of struggled. There were some games where he just struggled. So, yes, he put up some big numbers in a few games, but I think he's going to lack the consistency that Husker fans are really wanting. I mean, Adrian Martinez, he was relatively inconsistent, right? And people were kind of glad he's gone. But, you know, it was funny. I was kind of looking back through that that game, and I was reminded about how great of a game that Texas-Oklahoma game. Now, Casey Thompson put up some big numbers in that game. They got up to that 38-20 lead. But after halftime, he struggled. He struggled big time in that game. And he did that against a couple other teams. I got a couple of buddies living here in Texas that are huge Texas fans. And one of them follows Texas just like we follow Nebraska. And I was talking to him about this today, asking what his thoughts. And he likes Casey Thompson. What he says about Casey Thompson is he's a locker room guy. All the guys like him. All the coaches like him. The fans liked him. Yeah, he had some struggles there. But he works really hard. And he wasn't sad to see him go, but he understood it because Quinn Ewers is coming into Texas right now. So that job is going to be up in the air. My friend, he thinks that, you know, that Casey Thompson might have been able to compete for the starting job next year. But he acknowledges all of the issues. One of the things that he said is like, it seemed like after halftime, coaches kind of figured him out. And I asked him, because what was the narrative going on with Adrian Martinez this year, especially in the second half of the year? Is he clutch? And I asked him about Casey Thompson. Is he clutch? And he's like, well, we didn't win very many games, so I would say no. But I don't know. I'm just tempering my expectations.
You say that, but I would say he did plenty to beat Oklahoma.
No, you're right. You're right. And I brought that up. I said, you know, your defense wasn't that great.
I would say he did plenty to beat Kansas.
Yeah.
He threw six touchdowns in a game.
Well, he didn't. That wasn't a game that he struggled. Let me see. He named.
Well, I understand it, but it's a game they still lost.
Yeah.
So it's just like the Adrian Martinez thing where everybody wants to point a finger, and they always want to point the finger at the quarterback because apparently he could have done more. But the guy had good games and still lost.
One of the things that he did say was at that West Virginia game where he got pulled for his name's Card. That Card came in and finished the game. Well, Card ended up getting hurt in that game. But he fully believes that Card would have started in their final game. But since he was hurt, Casey Thompson got that start also. So I thought that was interesting also.
I think that when you look at this, like, I mean, I guess put it on the table. I think he is going to be our starting quarterback in 2022. Now, we still have other good quarterbacks on the roster. And when you look at the Big Ten right now, like, how many teams would kill to have Casey Thompson right now? I'll tell you a team just a little bit east of us, Iowa. Man, those guys would be doing backflips right now if they got Casey Thompson. And I think that I think he is good enough to not only get the starting job, but I think he is good enough to win some games at Nebraska. Like, we don't need a massive improvement at quarterback. Adrian was – he was close. I mean,
Is he a step up from Adrian Martinez?
I don't know if I'll go that far. I'm interested in Derek's thoughts. I'm obviously the Adrian lover. I still love him. I think it's really close. What I will say is this. Two things. System matters. I think he fits the system, which I expect us to go to better than Adrian would have. And I can't imagine him being worse in the two-minute drill than Adrian Martinez. Like, I just can't imagine that.
Derek.
Is he a step above Adrian Martinez? Yeah, I think so, ultimately. I mean, probably not a big step forward, but I think he's statistically, yes, he's slightly better. He threw 63% compared to 61%. But the big deal is he threw 24 touchdowns and 9 interceptions, where Adrian Martinez was 14 for 10. And so and that's the big number to me, is he's throwing touchdowns rather than Martinez just not. I mean, Martinez would get to the red zone, and that's where he struggled throwing the ball. We've talked about that for 4 years now.
Yeah, but Adrian Martinez, he could and would use his legs in those scenarios to
get the score. Absolutely he would. But it also increases his injury risk.
Sure.
So now we got a guy that may not have to use his legs to try and get it done. If he can actually throw some touchdowns, then friggin' awesome.
All right. Cool. Tyler, other guys?
I'm going to name one more name, and then I'll go rapid fire and get your guys' thoughts. But the next name is a guy from LSU, former 5-star Trey Palmer. Obviously, the Mickey Joseph thoughts are there. I believe he also has 2 years left of eligibility. Guy had contributed special teams. I think a lot of people kind of they talked about it. He had two kick returns, one kick return, one punt return. I found it interesting that those didn't happen this year. Those were prior to 2021.
Right.
So I think a lot of people are like, oh, he was such a great specialist this year. And I don't know. I mean, I don't think that's probably entirely accurate. But is he an upgrade of what we've had special teams? Probably. I mean, he's at least returned. He had a 24-yard punt return this year, which is a hell of a lot longer than any of our punt
returns. I think he had two punt returns over 20 yards this year.
Yeah, I mean, so, again, I don't know if he was he's definitely not an All-American kicker, but definitely gives us some explosiveness there and a really, really needed body at wide receiver.
Yeah, he is my favorite transfer that we've picked up, actually. I think him coming in this new system, he's going to be given – I mean, I think he's going to be our number one guy headed into the fall. So he's going to get the targets – I really like what he brings to the wide receiver room and in these special teams. He's my number one get. Derek?
I mean, I think the reason he's the biggest get is the special teams. Maybe it wasn't this year, but it's the fact that he can do it. He's proven he can do it. And that's what we need right now more than anything in the world. I don't even care what the guy brings to the table for wide receivers, because we've got 40 wide receivers on this roster. I want somebody who can damn return a punt and a kickoff, because we don't have that. Yeah. I think Mickey Joseph can turn any of these wide receivers into great, great wide receivers. What I don't know if we could do is turn any of these guys into good return men. And I think it's huge what he brings to the table for that. And Tyler, you bring up the fact he's a former 5-star, and I've had this question posed to me a couple of times, because it depends on what you look at. He's a 4-star and or a 5-star. The article I read claimed he was a 5-star athlete, but a 4-star wide receiver. So I mean, take that for what you will, but he's getting extra points because he's such a great return man.
And I'll take those points all day long.
Well, absolutely. I'm not trying to down a guy. I'm just saying that what he's bringing to the table for special teams can't be overlooked at all.
No, and Derek, you're right. But I do think you're glossing over at wide receiver, because, you know, it's amazing the difference that he has made in my mind. Because prior to him coming to Nebraska, I was like, you know, Samori Torrey is going to be some big shoes to fill. I like what Betts is going to bring. I like Omar Manning. I still think Oliver Martin can contribute. But I was like, God, I'm just not sure about that position. Now all of a sudden,
I'm like, Oliver Martin on the roster?
I think he is. I mean, I haven't heard him left.
I will tell you this. I don't think Oliver Martin plays much at all this year.
Well, it's here's the thing. It's hard to find room. Like, there's another name we're about to get to at wide receiver that a transfer that could contribute quite a bit. Like, You're talking about a 5-6 man rotation at wide receiver is kind of what you would expect. Like, you with Frost, you kind of thought maybe we'd always see more because of the up-tempo offense, maybe a little bit more rotation because that's how it was at Oregon. I don't think you'll see it quite that tempo. I think the tempo we've really started to see, it's a 5-6 person rotation is what you're going to expect. Man, there's a lot of bodies going to be playing for those snaps. And I feel really a lot better because, I mean, we're deep at wide receiver.
Okay.
I think 2022 recruiting class was not the greatest, but the position I think we did well in was wide receiver. I think we did well in 2021 recruiting class. I mean, we are young, sure, but I think we've got a lot of guys that could come in and compete.
All right. What's your next guy, Tyler?
Well, I'm going to name the next, all the rest of the offensive transfers and just kind of, we can piggyback on which guys you want to talk about, but I'm going to start with Keith Williams. He was our first transfer we got. The Northern Colorado
Kevin Williams.
Lineman. Kevin Williams.
He's not a backup.
He's not a backup. reference to our former defensive lineman at Nebraska. Nicely done there, Justin.
Thank you.
This Kevin Williams isn't really a backup. He has started 17 games at guard at Northern Colorado, 2 at tackle. We just brought in today DeAndre Jackson, former 3-star running back out at Texas A&M. And then the other two names are Hunter Anthony, former 3-star lineman who started a couple games in 2020 at right tackle out of Oklahoma State, and Isaiah Garcia Castaneda, let's go with that, from New Mexico State, who had 578 yards this past season. Kind of an under the radar guy, but definitely put up numbers. Not quite Samori Torrey level, but definitely kind of the same mold there from a smaller school.
I like that guy also. I like what he adds to the wide receiver room also. I can see him cracking the starting rotation as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I tell you, it speaks volumes for that kid that you don't see. When a player joins the transfer portal, you don't see his numbers jump usually a ton. And this guy went from like a 2-star, like a 0.77 to a 0.87. Like he jumped a full point.
Yeah.
He's damn near a 4-star now. Like that speaks volumes to what he's actually done.
Yep.
I think he's one of our better gets in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
Now we'll see what happens if it pans out on the field, but I think he's a huge get for us.
Yep, I like him a lot, too.
I am personally most excited about the linemen. And I think offensive line is our weakest position. And while maybe the names and maybe the pedigree isn't quite what you wanted, I think getting more bodies into that offensive line room that have starting experience, especially in the case of Keith Williams, gosh, I'm going to call him that all the time, Kevin Williams. Kevin Williams, a guy who's a guard. I mean, I feel like guard is a position we really don't have. To have another guy in there to compete, I mean, I think I'm happy they brought in a couple linemen. I think that was really a necessary move for 2022 because our offensive line, again, I don't know if either of these guys are starters, but I think that they are definitely both two deep guys and definitely something we needed.
I have to tell you, I really hope they're not done getting an offensive lineman in here because I'd really like to see a center come in here.
Yeah. Yeah, I would too. A proven center. Good point.
Right now we're looking at Trent Hickson, who, I mean, God, it seems like a lifetime ago he was a starter, but
he's a serviceable guy. I don't want to say he can't handle the job, but if we could just get an actual center, not somebody that moved over to center, but an actual center.
Well, or at least someone
I would
push
feel
him
a little more comfortable.
Like, that who too is our backup center right now? I don't even know who our backup center would be.
I've heard Turner Corcoran was mentioned.
I've heard Corcoran's name be mentioned.
Which, and okay, let's just go down that rabbit hole. Well, if he does that, that's another reason why Hunter Anthony is important, because now you're looking at tackle. Like, well, you got to find a, you got to backfill him now. And is it Benar? Is it, I mean,
Prohaska? I think Prohaska's pencil.
Prohaska, I think if he's healthy, will start. But that's one tackle. We have two tackle spots. Yeah. Right now, you pencil in Corcoran for that other one. So if he's going to center or guard, you need another tackle. That's either back to Benar or maybe Hunter Anthony.
All I got to say is Donovan Raiola, he has his hands full with the offensive line. Putting all these puzzle pieces together, we're going to find out real quick if he's up to task. I mean, this, he's not walking into an enviable position by no means.
No, he isn't. And recruiting the last couple cycles, we haven't hit there. So it will be interesting to see. Well, maybe not a couple cycles. Maybe the last.
Henry Lutovsky was a big get.
Yeah, he was a good get. He could compete this year.
Prochaska was a big get.
Yeah. Okay, I stand corrected. The last recruiting cycle was good. This last, the 2021 or 2022's recruiting cycle sucked at offensive line.
I wonder
how much of that was on purpose to try and get him through the portal, that rather than, because they knew we needed immediate help.
Yeah, that true. I mean, Sichterman going ahead and retiring bit us in the ass. He might have been our second best lineman last year. Cam Jurgens opting, you know, to go pro. That's going to kick us in the nuts big time. I mean, that's our biggest loss for sure. Yeah. Replacing him. But Sichterman also.
Which is funny, because we spent 3 years bitching about him.
Yeah.
Then he finally had a good year and he's off to the pros.
Yeah, he finally puts it together and gives us the big old middle finger and says, figure it out, fuckers.
Well, I guess my last thing on offense before we turn over to Derek for defense is, we haven't really talked about the running back, DeAndre Jackson. Any thoughts on him coming in? The coaches recruited him hard out of high school. He was a 3-star out of high school. Nothing really there. I mean, I don't love our running back room, but I think we're, I don't want to poo-poo on it, but I feel we're better than him. I feel like he is, like, coming in at fifth at running back. Like, I feel like he is not, I don't know, I'm not overly, I don't even think him, see him making the 3 deep, maybe not even 4 deep.
No, I mean, he's another body. I mean, we've already had 2 guys leave, with Seven Morrison, who's now at Kansas, and Marvin Scott, who's now at FIU. They're gone. And then I saw tonight, and I wasn't able to verify it, but, well, unless you guys know, did Step transfer?
I thought
I saw something about Step is gone.
Yeah, that would be breaking news, Justin. But it wouldn't shock me. But the nice thing about DeAndre Jackson is he does have 4 years of eligibility ahead of him. So,
I mean, he's a big-bodied back, you know.
Maybe 2022 isn't his year to get the snaps, but as you start looking at a couple years down the road, I mean, another body is probably nice to have.
It makes me wonder how much they're trying to change that running back position too now, though. With his size, he's 5'11", 230 pounds. That gives us, unless Step is gone, it gives us 3 running backs over 230 pounds or more.
Yeah.
So it's weird that it's kind of like we talked about the overall of the wide receiver core the last year or two, where we're going after these bigger bodied wide receivers. And it seems like we're doing the same thing with running backs, only going after big, heavier set power runners rather than top end speedsters.
Yeah, that's a really good call out, Derek. I mean, I don't know what that means, but it does.
I don't know what it means either. I know there's a lot of speculation that maybe it means we're bringing a fullback back, and I don't know that I buy that. But, I mean, Jaquez Yance, 245 pounds. Steps, 230. This new guy's 230. I mean, most of our wide receiver or our running back group is well over 200 pounds now. And I mean, it's a long stretch from the 180-pound Maurice Washington we were running with.
If he was 180. Yeah.
And much bigger than Wandell Robinson.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, Derek, take us through some of the defensive pickups that we've had and the special teams pickups we've had out of the transfer portal.
All right, well, I'm just going to run through them because I really only got about three names here. So Tommy Hill was the only defensive guy, cornerback out of Arizona State, played 11 games last year. Again, I don't watch Arizona State enough to know what he really did, but I assume it was mostly on special teams. He did have four kickoff returns for 79 yards, averaging almost 20 yards a return. So here's another guy who we know has at least a little bit of experience returning kickoffs. He had nine tackles, but I couldn't find anything defensive stats, so I think those tackles probably came on special teams. But I didn't watch the guy play a lot. But he's a four-star cornerback coming in, so you have to assume that the talent in that room's still looking pretty hefty.
Yeah, he can compete with all the people leaving. He can certainly compete for a starting job.
I mean, to me, I think the biggest competitions going on right now are probably Quentin Newsome and Braxton Clark on one side, and Tyreek Johnson, a former five-star guy that came here from Ohio State, and Tommy Hill.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's other guys that could be mentioned in this too. But you're looking at four and five star guys competing for a job. It's nice to see that a little bit.
Well, Tommy Hill is not my number one, but I am really excited about him. And to the point that you guys mentioned, I think he can compete this year. I really like him. And the bigger thing is the loss of JoJo Doman. Like, I don't know what they do with that position. I don't know if it's just if an outside backer is going to be able to do it. So could we actually need to have five defensive backs out there a little bit more this year? Like, is that really a thing? And then if that's the case, man, we lost a lot of defensive backs this last year. I mean, we have Buford. We just brought in Gold, our number one recruit in the 22 class. So there's guys that are going to compete in that position group besides the ones you mentioned. But yeah, I mean, there is another body because we really needed another body in the position that I think we really need.
But you have to think that they kind of have a leg up a little bit. Like, I'm not guaranteeing that any of those guys I mentioned are starting, but yeah, you kind of have to think they have a little bit of a leg up.
Well, I will guarantee Quentin Newsome starts. I think Quentin Newsome had a pretty good. I think his second half he started playing a lot better football. And Miles Farmer, I know we're not talking about safety, but I'm pretty confident he's a starter. But, yeah, I mean, but, yeah.
All right, who else, Derek?
All right, so we got, let's see if I can even say these names close to right. Timmy Bleakrode. These names aren't exciting, but he was a place kicker and a punter at Furman. He did both duties last year. He was their kicker and their punter. He was 15 for 18 with a long of a 51-yard field goal. I mean, that's a pretty big step up if we can get that out of him.
Yeah.
From what we had. He punted 52 times and averaged 42 yards a punt.
Nice.
Again, that's about what Pazurstrip was doing. But Pazurstrip was all skewed off the 84-yard punt, too. So, and then we picked up Brian Buscini. I assume that's how you say his name. Kid out of Montana. He was the FCS punter of the year last year. Averaged 43 yards a punt. That would be a top 15 punter right now in the country.
Wow.
So,
you had me at hello. That's a big
get. So I know these guys aren't exciting because you're looking at special teams guys, but man, with all the problems we have with special teams, these might be our two best transfers right here.
Well, I mean, God, I mean, I think they are exciting as bad as special teams have been. You add those guys in there along with, you know, add Bill Bush to the equation. I mean, these are pieces that he can work with. We already talked about Trey Palmer on the offensive side of the ball. If he could be an average returner on kickoff returns and punt returns, and then you have these two guys kicking the ball or and punting the ball, I think we're in shape.
This Brian Buccini has actually done a lot of talking with Sam Cook.
Oh, nice.
And I didn't realize, I didn't even know this was possible. So I was reading an article tonight, and apparently Sam Cook has 18 different types of punts that he punts in the NFL. 18.
What?
Swear to God, that's what the article stated.
You got a knuckleball?
There's a banana punt, a knuckleball, a boomerang. Anyway.
Why the hell would you want to kick a boomerang? I'm pretty sure Caleb Whiteborn. I'm pretty sure that he created the boomerang.
So I obviously I'm not a punter, so I don't know what all these things mean. But he's been working with Sam Cook, and he's worked with a couple other NFL punters in the past to help him out. And so it was just kind of interesting to hear that this FCS punter that nobody ever really heard of, unless you were a Montana fan, has been working with all these NFL guys.
Hey, good for him, man. Good for us. Good for Nebraska. Good for Scott Frost, man. This is the type of shit that he needs. This is the type of shit that he needed 4 years ago, you know?
And don't forget, we picked up the Charlie Weinrich. The five-star kicker. Everyone's talking about the five-star kicker.
Oh, Tyler loves that. Tyler, what do you think about that five-star kicker?
You know what? He was a five-star kicker in a camp, along with four or five other guys in that same camp. So,
But look, you can mock it all you want, but there's hundreds of guys at this camp, and he was one of three or four guys that got five that was rated a five-star out of this cold kicking.
The whole narrative, though.
I get it.
It blows me away that anybody actually thought he was rated a five-star by recruiting services. I know Justin was one of them.
I bought into it. It's like a five-star, and we didn't offer him. We asked a five-star to walk on. What the fuck are we doing with our lives? Oh, it's a five-star at a camp.
but to your point, Derek. It's another guy that can compete. And
absolutely.
I mean, and I don't know what our record would have been if we had average special teams in 2021. I mean, last year was such a weird year.
I will say this. More games. We would have been bowling this year if we had just average special teams.
I mean, yeah.
Maybe that's not great, but we would have at least been bowling.
Would we have taken Rugger's spot in that bowl game as a 5-7 team?
No, I think we would have been legit.
You think we would have been legit? You think three games?
Oh, yeah.
You're willing to call three games? Okay.
Yeah.
But it again, you know, we joke about Nebraska winning the offseason. I think this is I really feel like this is the year that we have won the offseason. I feel like there was a lot of moves that, like, you know, you go in these offseasons a lot, you're like, gosh, I think we need to do this. I think we need to do this. Frost checked almost every box of things you needed to go do. And maybe not every guy is going to be a home run that he brought in as a transfer. Maybe we're not done. I mean, there's still speculation of another quarterback, Purdy, former FSU quarterback. There's a FCS All-American lineman that's set to visit. So there's still maybe a couple more names that come into the pipeline. But, I mean, I really love these moves with the transfer portal. I mean, And we just saw it. Michigan State, they turned around their team with the transfer portal. And, gosh, I mean, maybe we can follow suit this year.
Yeah. I mean, that's the hope, right? I mean, God, but we're going to have to get down to that scholarship level. I mean, the more guys that we bring in, the more guys that we're going to have to, you know, separate from, right?
No, you're definitely going to lose some more guys. Come spring, we're gonna have to lose. I think last I heard is 4 or 5 guys we're going to lose right now.
Which actually is one of the more remarkable things this offseason so far is that we haven't seen an exodus.
I know. We can't get anybody to leave now. Now that we need people to leave, we can't get them to leave.
Well, we have smart players. They're looking at that transfer portal. People go in, but they never come out. So, I mean, it's like, don't go in there. I want my school paid for. You know, I'm not going in there. Nobody comes out of it.
I mean, Maurice Washington finally picked up a school.
I saw that. Grambling, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So if you haven't played
the transfer portal in 2019.
Wow.
So if you haven't played in 3 years, how many years of eligibility does he have left? Is he going to be playing for another 4 years? I mean, where is he at right now in eligibility?
He probably still has 3. He doesn't have that freshman year. He definitely doesn't have an eligibility year after that. But he probably could have redshirted his sophomore year because he only played in 2 or 3 games before they finally kicked him off the team.
That was 2019. Like, that's how long ago he came his in freshman, Frost first his, class. And
his
he could
freshman
be
a, year. His freshman year was 2018.
We've won like 6 games since we kicked him off the team. 6 freaking games is what we've won.
I tell you what, I wish we had him back because he was a hell of an athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was fun to watch run the ball.
Yeah. And he was pretty good catching the ball out of the backfield also. I mean, he could do it all. Oh, what could have been? Derek, is there anybody else?
No, not really. That's about it.
All right, so we probably talked through this already, but I still have to ask. Out of all those transfers, I think there's 10 of them right there, right, that we mentioned. Which of those guys has a chance to make an immediate impact? So I'll just kind of guide this. We all say Casey Thompson. That's a given, right? 100%. Casey Thompson, he can make an immediate
impact. I don't know if he's 100%, is he? With his inconsistencies, you don't think that maybe Logan Smothers could beat him out? Or
yeah. I mean, I can see that. I mean, it would have to be pretty bad. I
would put him at 90% probably, but I think there's still a shot that Smothers could unseat him.
I would equate this to the 2020 quarterback competition with Adrian Martinez, Luke McCaffrey. I think that, like, Casey Thompson, I really think that he's going to be the starter. I think that the coaches are going to say there's a competition. There might be a little bit of a one. I in my mind, there's no doubt he is going to be week 1 starter, but he's probably going to have a pretty short leash. Especially with everything on the line for Frost this year. That's how I really see it playing out.
I mean, the coaches, Frost had to tell him, you're going to be the guy to get him to come to Nebraska, right? He had to have told him, you're going to be the guy.
I don't think so.
But if he's not the guy, maybe they just, I don't know, forget to give him directions in Ireland.
Leave him there. And all of a sudden he's playing on the soccer team somewhere. My God, is that the second soccer reference we've had on this podcast? Wow. Amazing times. 2022 is shaping up to be a weird year already. So I'm going to say Casey Thompson. Unless something happens, I think the job's already been promised to him. He's going to be the guy. The next guy, my guy, Trey Palmer. Trey Palmer, he's a shoo-in. I think he's going to start. What do you guys think?
I buy that.
It would be a shock if he didn't.
All right. And the third guy here that I want to bring up, Derek, help me out, Castanado. Did I say it right?
Isaiah Garcia.
Isaiah. Let's just call him Isaiah Garcia. Close enough.
IGC. IGC. I think he has a hell of a chance to make an immediate impact and possibly start. Agree?
I don't know about that one.
Really?
I agree. Okay. I agree, yes.
I wouldn't shock me if he gets some snaps in there, but I mean...
Don't think he's going to be even a rotational guy?
Okay, so again, if he's going to start, let's just say start. That means Omar Manning or Xavier Betts would not start. And I just think, you know, both of them had a little bit higher pedigree. Both of them have played at Nebraska. Both of them have been productive at Nebraska. I mean, I think that he has a shot to be one of the five or six? Yeah, I would say a strong possibility. I think a start. To me, I would be a little surprised. But I see him like a Levi Falk. I think that that's kind of the role that he comes in at.
Okay. And then for the purpose of this, I'm just going to group in both of those special teams guys that you talked about, the punter and the punter slash kicker. Whatever their names are, I'll let you say their names, Derek. But those two guys, I think they are going to be the guys headed into 2022. Say those names again.
Timmy Bleak Road.
I like when you say it.
And Brian Buscini.
Say that again.
Brian Buscini.
All right. I love it. I love it. Okay.
Yeah, I have no, and I'm probably wrong on both of them. And if I am, I apologize to both of them.
Yeah.
But
hey, they're still new to us too, damn it. So, so anybody else that we've pulled out of the transfer portal that could make an immediate impact? Tommy Hill, Tyler. I mean, I know that you are kind of high on him. What do you think?
Yeah.
Immediate impact?
I give him a higher shot than Isaiah Garcia.
Really?
I disagree. I think Isaiah Garcia has a much better shot at playing right away. Tommy Hill will probably get some playing time, but I don't know if maybe I'm putting too much stock into like a Tyreek Johnson here.
Yeah, I mean, there is that aspect, right? Tyreek Johnson, he was a 5-star transfer from Ohio State.
And he's been here for a year now. He's getting the system down.
Well, I mean, his first year, I mean, it took him a while to learn the defense, to get to a position to where he even played. And I don't even know, did he ever play a defensive snap last year?
Not many. Maybe in Northwestern.
Okay, so then you have this guy coming in from Arizona State. Is he that established that he can come in, pick this thing up,
play? I know what Tyler's answer is going to be. Maybe not, but we've lost so many secondary guys. There's a lot of wide open spots.
Yeah.
Well, I just think that there's
better guys that know the system a hell of a lot better. I think there is that learning curve when you come in.
I think so too. And I think maybe he could be an impact guy later down the road. I just don't see him doing it right away.
Yeah.
He was a top 300 24/7 composite guy.
That doesn't mean shit.
I know, but it's not like he's 2-3 years removed. I mean, this guy is a good prospect. He's gotten playing time. I think that he.
But again, I think most of his playing time is on special teams.
I get it, but he was a true freshman last year.
He's playing in that defensive mecca in the Pac-12. I mean, fair enough. How the hell, you know?
Well, I get it. And again, I would be. I don't want to say shocked, but I don't know which of these offensive linemen it is, but I really do think one of these offensive linemen transfers are going to start. I don't know quite which one. I have a hard time naming 5 starters that are coming back.
I would say Hunter Anthony starts before any of the rest of them.
He is a little bit higher pedigree, right? Like he is, I mean, a guy.
Well, again, he's played guard. He's played tackle. I mean, so you can kind of move him around a little bit.
Again, Raiola has got a tough. He's got a really tough assignment. It's not even just trying to find the guys. I mean, you have a lot of guys that have played different positions. I mean,
if you think about it, Trent Hixon is our most senior lineman. I mean, he will be a senior, but he will be our oldest lineman on the roster.
That's not fair. He's almost my age. I mean, that guy's been around for a long time.
He's pushing for Justin's age, I think.
Oh my God. I hope not, because my knees can't do shit anymore. But no, I mean, all the guys there for offensive linemen, those are some young dudes. He's dealing with a lot of young dudes.
Yeah.
The funny thing is the guy probably returning with most starts is probably almost got to be Bryce Benhart at this point.
Yeah.
And we don't even know if he'll be starting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
as a matter of fact, I think the average person anticipates him not starting.
I have a hard time believing he would start at tackle at this point. I can't.
I think he's too big to go anywhere else.
I know. I know that's the thing.
Turner Corcoran's borderline. I think you could move him around a little bit. But Bryce Benhart's 6'9". I don't. Outside of tackle, I don't know if there's a lot of spots for him on the offensive line.
I mean, again, I think the days of having needing a 6'4", 6'5", guard is dead. I think you can be a little bit taller. He's definitely pushing it.
I tend to agree with that, but 6'9", I think is still just like.
Are there guards that big, though?
We did this exercise at one point. Probably, if you go back to this, I think we looked this up. Like, I mean, there's guards out there that are 6'8", out there 6'7". I don't know if I've seen a 6'9", but like
on college roster.
But if you can play guard at 6'8", I mean, is it that much of a stretch to say can you play at 6'9"? Like, I mean, I don't know.
It's gonna come down to athletic ability, and the problem is I just don't know if he's fast enough to play guard.
Yeah, and again, not to go down the Bryce Benhart thing, and before we just write him off, I mean. The guy had a really good pretty good freshman campaign. Definitely took a sophomore slump. Maybe a better coach gets more out of him. I mean, he was a really high four star. Like again, the guy's career is not dead. I don't think.
The truth of the matter is, he got benched. What game was it? Was it the Northwestern game?
He got benched for the Northwestern.
And when he came back in after that, he was. Better. He still wasn't great, but he was better.
He's better. I'd buy that. And again, I think that offensive line needs help. I think the difference between, again, going back to Isaiah Garcia, because I think you guys have pitched, I just like our depth there. I think that you look at the guys like DeColdis, you bring in Victor Jones, I'm blanking, like Grimes from last year. You have
Sean Hardy, Latrell Neville.
Neville. I mean,
Will you Nixon and Lonnie Brown, those are guys that we thought.
Wyatt Lever. Wyatt Lever's still around. He started game one. I mean, like, so you still have, like, again, when you're talking about this, I mean, Oliver Martin.
Didn't Wyatt Lever start, like, game one that we ever played? Like, back in, like, 1879? That guy's been around forever, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just.
Hey, COVID will age you, man.
We have a lot of bodies at this end. Not that Isaiah Garcia isn't a name to be mentioned. Not that he shouldn't be, but like that's what I'm saying. Like, I think
there's another starter, and this was a transfer from last year, and he played a lot last year. But that Noreen Nwelle, is he a candidate for maybe a center spot? He played guard well. I don't know if he could switch over to center or not, but.
I think he
was one of our better offensive linemen last year. I thought he did a hell of a job.
He was awesome.
He was good.
I mean, he was a bruiser out there.
I think outside of Corcoran and maybe Prochazka, he's probably your next guaranteed starter on the offensive line.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
I just want to go back to IGC one more time. Because, you know, you're talking about
every time you say I think of IGA.
IGA. Not the grocery store. I'm talking about IGC. The wide receiver transfer. But so, Tanner, you keep bringing all these names. And the only difference between all these names that Nebraska has and IGC is experience.
Yeah.
IGC has all the experience and all the yards and, you know, all the accolades. All the other guys that you're mentioning competing for that starting spot, man, there's been no evidence that the coaching staff has had any confidence in them to even put them on the field last year.
Well, so I have a rebuttal there.
And that's why they went out and they got this guy, because he can come in and make an immediate impact. And I think he will.
I think he was a good get. And I think he, I, again, I, when I don't know if we talked about this, but I thought we needed to bring in two transfer wide receivers. I did think that because I thought, you know, we needed it. But then we end up finishing the recruiting cycle pretty strong and brought in the coldest. And it's like, okay, that's another four-star-ish guy that at wide receiver. And then, you know, you kind of start sitting there. It's like, okay, well, now you start. And I didn't realize Wyatt Lever was still on the roster. And I'm like,
but does that matter? Well,
he started. I mean, he had playing time. You say coaches didn't trust him, but he started game one.
Wyatt Lever will be the spring game MVP.
Very possible. Very possible. I mean, but I sit there and I say, like, again, wide receiver, I don't, for a while under Scott Frost, I used to think you needed seven bodies to really be able to play under Scott Frost. With that much rotation, that quick of offense, you need to be able to get guys in and out, quick changes. I don't know if I buy that under the way that Frost has evolved, especially bringing in Whipple. I think you're looking at 5-6 wide receivers. I don't know. I didn't look this up with – I looked it up for everyone else except for IGA.
How'd you see?
We just need to call him we're just going to call him the grocery store. The grocery store – I didn't look up the grocery store, but I don't know how many years he's got left. But yeah, I mean, I think, again, more depth isn't bad. Here's the positive thing. I think we went through transfers. I don't know how many we end up. I think we're at 10 transfers. Yeah. I mean, we're sitting here saying like seven or eight could be immediate contributors next year.
No, you are.
Well, you don't think any of these linemen are going to play?
No, I don't think they're immediate impact guys. I think there's exactly five guys.
So you don't think? So you don't think either of the offensive linemen are going to start?
No.
So let me ask you this. What's the over-under set? How many receivers that Mickey Joseph says we have available? Because Troy Walters said that we had six eight or seven.
We have eight or nine guys that can play right away.
Oh, it is double digits this year.
God dang. You know, I love Mickey Joseph. He's my number one coach, right? And he came out and he said that all my wide receivers will play special teams. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. We heard this from Travis Fisher. And what do we do in special teams? We play all the third stringers, second and third teamers. That's who we're throwing out there. I'm like, oh, my God. Maybe it's not his decision.
Well, okay. So two things there. One, can we just make a pact that when Mickey Joseph undoubtedly says that we have 10 wide receivers deep, we don't make a segment out of it? Like, let's just let it slide.
No, absolutely not. We are going to talk about it. And we're going to speculate who the 10 guys are, and then we're going to be disappointed in the fall. Because this is what we do. God damn it, this is what Husker fans do.
And at the end of the year, we were like, God damn it, we only had three wide receivers. two running backs had more receiving yards than our wide receivers. My God.
And Justin's going to hold it over his head. Remember when he said he had 10 guys? Okay, so that's one. And two, I know that there's this, like, Alabama – like, is a great example. They're starting wide receivers to special teams. And I'm all for it. I don't think that's a necessity. Like, when I hear coaches say that, I'm like, you know, I don't know if my best wide receiver, I really want to see out there on punt return coverage. Like, I don't.
Well, I'll tell you what I don't want to see.
I don't know if it's needed important. Like,
I'll tell you what I don't want to see is Oliver Martin.
Well, I don't think he was on punt coverage.
Well, I don't want to see him out there, period.
Hey, you know what? He was an upgrade. This year, like when we saw the first part of the season, he was an upgrade
from Cam Taylor-Britt.
And Brody Bell.
The preseason all Big Ten punt returner.
Yeah, Phil Steele, you got that one wrong, bud.
And his first punt return is a safety.
I think he got the yips after that. I'm convinced. I think that just got into his head. But anyway, again,
we love Cam Taylor-Britt, by the way.
100%. Wish he was coming back.
Special teams.
If he was coming back, I'd crown us national championships right now.
Hey, 15,000 to 1, baby.
Hey, so I got a serious question because, you know, the whole joke out is out there, you know, off season national championships.
I hate that joke.
Are you guys buying into headed in 2022 and all this off season hype? Are you buying into this hype at all, or are you kind of like tempering your expectations a bit? I just want to know where your headset is right now, Derek. What about you? Where are you right now?
I think our win total improves dramatically, but it's not because of the hype. It's because of the schedule.
Okay, so like all this other hype and like everybody wants to applaud, you know, any new development in Huskerland, it's like, oh, yep, sign us up.
No, I mean,
playing in the title game.
I do believe Scott Frost has made a lot of right moves. But I don't know that it equates to year one where we're winning the West.
Yeah.
But I do love our schedule this year. This is the easiest schedule we've had since 2016.
Yeah. Tyler, what about you? How are you buying into this hype?
I would say I'm tempering expectations. I mean, here's the way I look at it. 2021 was the weirdest year of college football I've ever seen in my life for Nebraska. Like, I watched that team. That team played like a 9-10 win team. They just didn't win games. And Scott Frost has made the right moves. So the question is he's made the right moves. The team was already good. To Derek's point, the schedule gets easier. A lot of things are lining up. But all things considered, we still didn't win games last year. So, like, I don't know. Was it a fluke? Was that the problem? Like, or is there something, you know, systemic that's causing us not to do it? And if it was systemic, was it Adrian Martinez? Was it Lubick? Was it Ryan Held? Was it Greg Austin? Was it these moves? And I don't know. I don't know that answer. So I think I would say I'm tempered. I would say that waking up on January 11th, 2022, I am optimistic about this team heading into next year. I don't know if I will be predicting us to win the Big Ten West.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm really holding myself back because there are some exciting things going on. Like, I do like a lot of these transfers. And I don't mean to demean some of the guys that I don't think that are going to be, that I don't deem immediate impacts. I think every transfer that we picked up is meaningful. I think there's a lot of good dudes there. That causes a lot of excitement. I like the coaching staff changes. I'm approving now. But part of me in the back of my mind, like, you know, I love Bill Bush and I think he's the right guy. But, the cynical part of me looks at it as like, you know, Scott Frost, he screwed up that special teams hire 3 times before. You know, with Jovan DeWitt, Rutledge, and with Dawson. I'm like, and then the offensive coordinator position, he screwed that up 2 times before also. So the cynical part of me really kind of comes out there, but I do like the hires. I like the movement. I will say I'm not quite sold on the direction of changing up the offense as drastically as what it seems on the surface. And maybe when you dig deep, it's not really that big of a change. But on the surface, it looks like it's a really big change. So I'm tempering my expectations that this stuff has a lot of unanswered questions. And it's going to be one of those things where it's like headed in the 2022, I don't know what this product is going to look like. You're adding a whole bunch of ingredients with a whole new bunch of chefs coming in. What does that really look like? I mean, so I don't know. I'm not trying to buy in. I know there's a lot of people out there that are loving everything that you say, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid, and you guys are, and I'm trying to do my best, but I've been burned way too many times. We've all been burned way too many times. So I'm just trying to absorb all of it and take the good where I can find it.
So
sometimes I wish you would just take it.
Just take it,
Justin. I'm not just taking that pill.
So, Justin, I think you said something.
Then you're vaccinated, double boosted, and all that stuff. You bought in.
I wasn't talking about a pill or a vaccine either.
Oh.
Just take it.
Oh.
So, Justin, you said something there that I think is really, really good. I think that you're right. I think there's a lot of really good ingredients. And when I start, we talked about this at wide receiver, not to beat a dead horse, but like where this gets really tricky for Scott Frost, for Mickey Joseph, for all the coaches, are things like that. Like, okay, there's probably not a large margin between who our number two or three wide receiver is and who our eighth wide receiver is. There probably isn't a giant margin there.
Okay.
And you may agree or disagree. How you integrate the Mark Whipple? Like, how much do you try to keep what it is, what we've done? That, again, I think our offense has been successful. It may not be what Scott Frost promises, but our offense hasn't been a dumpster fire.
Right.
Like, and so how do you integrate what Mark Whipple does? Because you brought him in for a reason. It's not just to run your offense. Like, how do you integrate that? Like, how do you do all these things? How do you change special teams? Because I know it's easy just to point and say, Mike Dawson, you suck. That's the reason our special teams coach. But you said it, Justin. Like, it's not like Scott Frost has sat by for 4 years and hasn't changed something on special teams. I mean, we've tried 18 different kickers in the last 4 years. Like, we've had three different coaches. Like, we've tried different things and just haven't got a result. Like, is it just we've had a bad players? Now maybe we got the right guy. Like, I think that there's a lot of very, very tough decisions and processes that need to be reviewed.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, he's changed quite a bit to the team, and it always has the same result. That's the frustrating thing. You know, you're talking about the offense. Scott Frost is building something great. He's building it. Can't you see it? Well, he fired basically all of his offensive staff. What did he build that was so great? If he fires all of them.
Our offense was good. Our offense was good. I mean, I think our offense was better than our defense was last year. I mean, but it doesn't matter. That different rabbit hole, but like, this will be an interesting thing. But I to Derek's point, like, you got to be sitting here saying, like, we have not had a transfer portal like this. I mean, when you look at the Big Ten, Nebraska is undeniably doing some great things in the transfer portal compared to what our competitors are doing. Yeah. Bringing in Mark Whipple.
Well, we are number six in the transfer portal. But, yeah, I mean, God, those rankings in the transfer portal are – they're not the same as recruiting rankings, right?
No, they're stupid as hell.
Stupid because they're rewarding the more transfers you get.
Yes.
And it's like, I don't know if I would want to be on
the
top
recruiting
of that.
The recruiting rankings do the same thing.
They do. They do that.
But it has to be weighted differently because there's a lot. Like, if you look at the Big Ten, like, Indiana has, like, more transfers than us. But, like, every other team, they're not bringing in as many transfers. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on all depends on the team needs. That's what the transfer portal's there for, right? It's team needs. And we have a lot of needs headed into 2022.
So interesting anecdote maybe for you guys and maybe for listeners. But so I had someone explain to me the transfer portal because I was talking to someone about the rankings. And they were talking about when a high school recruit comes out and the rankings are based by all these sites, they're basically projecting what their pro level is going to be. Like, it's not what their college level is necessarily. It's what they think of them as a potential NFL player down the road. So that's why, like, five stars are guys that they think are going to be first-round draft picks. I might give these numbers wrong. Four stars are guys they think could be second, you know, NFL draft pick, whatever it is. Well, the thing with the transfer portal is the same logic. The difference is you just have a little bit more evidence. So it's when these guys get downgraded to like a three-star or whatever, it's because at that point you like say, yeah, he might be a good college player, but he's really not going to be an NFL guy because you have a little bit more film on him. You know a little bit more than just the random like, yeah, high school thing. So I take that with a grain of salt because like you look at a Casey Thompson, like he's like a three-star in the transfer portal. I think he's better than the Joe Schmo three-star quarterback coming out of high school. Like, cause you know for sure what he's going to be. So okay. I think that's the difference is that the unknown is all projection out of high school, and the transfer portal, they try to get the what they actually are.
That's fair, and that's awesome to hear. But it kind of goes against everything your thoughts on IGA.
We can't let this IGA shit stick, guys. We can't let that happen.
So, I mean, my point is, you sit here and talk about all these players, and all of a sudden they're projected on how they actually played in college. And this guy upgraded to almost a 4-star, and you don't even see him getting much playing time.
Fair. And maybe I'm off on him. Maybe I'm off on him. I guess where I'm at on him is I think people are ready to crown him the next Samori Torii. And I think that is unrealistic.
What's wrong with that?
That would be fantastic if he was. I just think that Samori Torii put way better numbers at FCS than he did. And I just don't think it's fair to say a guy that is a borderline NFL draft pick that, like, yeah.
But he also wasn't an FCS guy. He was New Mexico State's
it's FBS.
It's FBS. I mean, it's...
He's played against Division I talent.
They're what, in the Mountain West? Is that right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's played against teams like Boise State.
I mean, but anyway, we can talk about that later. But anyway, guys, this was a good one. I thought this was going to be a short episode, but anytime we talk about football, it's never short.
I believe I told you this the other night when we discussed what we were going to talk about. You were like, oh, that's going to be a really short episode. And I said, no, it'll be over an hour.
Well, if you guys wouldn't talk so much on a podcast, I mean, it's
quit ridiculous. Asking so many questions.
So I will say.
Oh, shit. We bought Tyler time.
I was just looking up New Mexico State's record. Did you know New Mexico State played Alabama this year?
Yeah.
They did not fare well.
No. They did. I think the line on that game was like 54 points or some shit.
Well, they didn't cover.
and they shouldn't have.
No, but all right. But what I was going to say is as we wrap this up, I know it's the beginning of a new year. College football just ended. I don't know next time we'll be back. I don't know if it's going to be spring ball.
I can tell you one thing, that when we will be back, we are going to be back on a live stream with the Generation Red podcast at Gen Red Pod. If you're not following them already, please follow them. They're great. We've done live streams with them before, been on their podcast. Father son duo, Scott and Ken, they're awesome. They're funny. And we'll be back with them Sunday night. So check out that live streams. Stay tuned to our Twitter or their Twitter, and we'll have all the details. You can follow that live stream on Twitter, Facebook, or on their YouTube page, but we'll send out the details shortly. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. We're going to be back. We'll be back doing our podcast here shortly, soon, I guess.
Spring ball's not that far away.
Spring ball's not too far away, but, you know, we're not going to force topics at this time.
only the premiere stuff at the Husker Cuzcast.
That's it. You only get the best. We're not wasting your time. We're wasting ours. All right, guys. Hey, it's been fun tonight. Happy New Year to everybody. Hey, special thanks to our producer, Connor Russell, for putting this audio together for us. Be sure to follow the Husker Cuzcast on Twitter at Husker Cuzcast. Like us on Facebook. Look for episodes anywhere you get your podcasts. Hit that subscribe button and don't forget to rate and review. Please review. On behalf of Derek and Tyler, we want to thank everybody for listening. As always, go Big Red. Throw it!